So I've talked about family dynamics before a few times, but I wanted to revisit the topic in this video in a different way. Today, we're going to discuss the traditional family unit of a husband and wife and their 2.5 children. It's definitely been a pervasive image of what a family is supposed to look like in the Western world, although it doesn't really reflect the reality of what most family structures look like now. And there's been a fair amount of messaging in American conservative media that implies, or just says outright, that many of society's problems would be fixed if most people could just become part of this marriage and a couple kids formula. Why is that particular type of family so glorified still today? And is it actually better in some ways than the new types of families we've been seeing more of lately? And I just want to be clear, there is no wrong type of family, except maybe an abusive one. Basically, I want to know what all the hype has been about and why a significant number of people consider that to be the gold standard to this day. If a married couple and 2.5 kids was so amazing, why? Like, what was it about society or culture that made these families thrive and make having a family like that become a dream for so many people at that time and in the future? Another topic I'm going to touch on is the village of, the saying, it takes a village to raise a family. So there's some elements that aren't part of the immediate family that are involved in the caretaking and child development process that might not be so obvious when we think back to the traditional family units of the 50s. Did parents used to have more help from extended relatives or neighbors? What else was involved in building family relationships? How did a community of families used to interact with each other, and why are families so isolated now? And we're going to get into the title of this video. Even if nuclear families are so great, I'll explain why it just doesn't make sense to be the standard anymore, much less the dream for the next generations. So I know I called out the 50s, but I think the married with a couple kids family was really in its prime. The whole post-World War II era in America from the 50s well into the 70s. So in 1970, 67% of Americans ages 25 to 49 were living with their spouse and at least one child. And as of 2021, that percentage has dropped all the way to 37%. The types of households that have all increased since the 70s are people cohabitating with kids but not married, cohabitating without kids, so basically roommates and non-married couples, single adults with kids, married without kids, and living with other family members. I'm guessing that last one is a lot of young people still living with their parents or other family members like siblings. I think that's interesting. It's not like there was one dominating type of family and then it's been replaced over time with a new dominating type of family. In true American melting pot fashion, the share that the traditional family unit has lost has been replaced with a bunch of new types of different households. And I know I'm kind of blurring the lines here between household and family, and you might not consider some of these types of households to be families, which is fine. We're not just talking about the new types of families, we're also talking about what people are choosing to do instead of having a family sometimes. There's a couple of groups that have really grown a lot from the 60s and 70s to the early 2020s, so I want to point those out. Non-family households went from 19% to 36%. Men living alone went from 6% to 13%, and adult women living with parents went from 35% to 55%. So a lot has changed, and all these numbers tell me a few things, but I think they all have the same root. We now build a life for ourselves before building a family. In the past, building a family was building a life for yourself. There wasn't as much separation between those ideas. Millennials and Gen Z are either less able, less interested, or maybe both in getting into serious relationships where they live with their partner. Younger adults have been pushing settling down later and later in life until after they feel more financially secure before moving in, getting married, or having kids. And this must be a pretty firm culture change because you might think, okay, maybe young people don't want to settle down, but if nothing else, the price of housing is so god-awful that maybe they'll just move in with a significant other to cut down on the cost of rent. And that does happen sometimes, but what people really are doing more of is moving back in with family or getting roommates until they feel like they have their shit together, not necessarily with significant others. Although the desire has decreased, a majority of Americans do still want to get married and have kids someday. The biggest difference between the post-war era to now of a married couple with kids is just they're older. I know a lot of us, including myself, think of the popularity of a nuclear family being inherently tied to the 1950s and 60s, but it had already been the primary family structure in the Western world for many years before then. Research from the 1960s looked at 17th century pre-industrial villages in England that showed only about 1 in 10 households included any other members aside from parents and children. And from census data of American households, married couples with kids held the majority back in 1880 and still in 1910. Basically, the point I'm making is that nuclear families are much older than people make them out to be. It was the dominant type of family in America for a very long time. So the difference between the families of the 1950s and 60s in that traditional unit style, why those were held in such high regard, is not just because it was a married couple with kids. It's because families at that time were prospering. They had good jobs and houses and cars. Their kids were getting a solid education, and there was plenty of food on the table. And I would argue when your basic needs are met, it's much easier to go up the hierarchy and achieve greater happiness in your life. I don't think that the happiness and success of a lot of people at that time can be attributed necessarily to being married or having a couple of kids at home, because we already had had that for a long time. There had to be a number of other factors that were enabling these families to thrive. Two reasons I want to mention are, number one, federal investment in education, and number two, thriving labor unions. In the 40s, FDR passed the GI Bill, which gave federal assistance to millions of Americans coming back from the war to pursue more schooling and buy houses. In a 20-year time period, the percentage of Americans with college degrees doubled from 5 to 10%, and it really kick-started a prioritization of higher education in this country, encouraged by the federal government. In the 50s, federal spending on education grew significantly from 2.6% of the GDP to 5.7% in the 70s, where it kind of started plateauing. Also, to my point about labor unions, membership in the 50s, 60s, and 70s skyrocketed. One third of Americans were part of a labor union, which is crazy high. So what does this have to do with families? Higher education, job stability, and increased bargaining power for improved wages meant that American people were able to buy nicer houses and have multiple kids who would grow up not just with their needs covered, but with wants covered as well. Consumers having disposable income and buying more means that companies hire more, there's less unemployment, and increased tax revenues to the government so that they can continue funding federal programs. When the economy is booming, the middle class is thriving, and these nuclear families were doing very well. It was feasible to have a single income family. It wasn't just about the build of a married couple with kids. It was about these families thriving financially to allow for a good life. But now I want to talk about if they were thriving socially. there has been loads of discussion about the rise of individualism, particularly in America and other first world countries. And I'm not going to try and say that individualism wasn't a big thing until after the 50s and 60s, because honestly, I think the seeds of American individualism were planted when Europeans first came over to this continent and decided they had a right to take it, which is pretty self-important, and that happened well before the post-war era. But comparatively, I think the 50s and 60s were maybe less individualistic than time periods before and certainly after. In my opinion, there's a pretty good case for those nuclear families having a real solid village around them to support and make family life more appealing and easier. Immediately after the war, only a quarter of Americans lived in suburbs, but that was the beginning of the shift away from rural and urban. Now, over half of Americans live in suburban areas. And say what you will about suburbs, but it's like this bubble of family-focused life. It's about your neighborhood and the people in it. Suburbs can be a great place for building a community and a village. According to a Pew study from this year, 78% of people ages 18 to 49 know just some or none of their neighbors, and the amount of neighbors we know and trust has been declining. I feel like the neighborhood ladies of the past would be horrified. Back in the day, there was block parties and unplanned dropping by visits and borrowing the lawnmower when yours broke and bringing soup down the block when you heard another family's kid was sick. There is a pretty well-known book called Bowling Alone, where the author talks about all the ways that these villages made up of American families have broken down and now are made up of isolated, unengaged individuals. Membership in clubs, parent-teacher associations, labor unions, volunteer groups, religious organizations, and bowling leagues were all peaking around the 1960s. There was this thriving social capital, which allowed people to connect and have a support network and talk about raising kids and how to have a good married life. Unfortunately, I do think that there was this culture of politeness that held people back from opening up about more serious struggles because of embarrassment. Luckily for a lot of families in these golden years, accepting community help from friends or neighbors or relatives or even the government could be enough to help them overcome a minor setback. But when times got tougher in later decades, accepting help, especially from the government, was seen as something to be judged and demonized as getting a free handout that wasn't deserved. Being a welfare mom was worse than not being a mom at all. Really shows how family values rank compared to American individualism. Individualism has become so important in American culture that the glorification of having a family is only praised if you can do it independent of community resources or assistance. I think the unraveling of the social fabric in this country has been in hyperspeed since the pandemic, but even going back to the 90s and 2000s, it had been going downhill. And I can't say I'm surprised when we're surrounded by messaging that only lazy or unskilled people would need help from a village. You and your family should be able to make it on your own. Something else I wanted to look into about the nuclear American family of the 50s through the 70s is the emotional stability and wellness of the husbands, wives, and children. Because on the one hand, there is this image of the family being very happy, all smiles. And on the other hand, there's also many a story about how these smiles were a facade, hiding anger issues, alcoholism, child abuse, misogyny, and deeply unhappy marriages.
And I'd better enjoy this, or I'm going back to my secretary. About once a week, I get drunk, call my son a sissy, and scream at my wife until I pass out. And that's sex to me.
I think I'd like a divorce.
But it's 1955, and we're Irish Catholic.
Of course, you're always right, Geordie.
Unfortunately, I realized almost immediately that looking at something like divorce rates isn't really going to give me the information that I'm interested in. Because out of 1,000 women in the 50s, only 9 were divorced compared to 15 in the 2020s. But how much of that is due to divorce becoming more normalized and accepted? If divorce wasn't taboo at that time, what would the rates have been? There's no way for us to know. So I looked into some other stats that we know have an impact on family and home life. One of them being alcohol. I'm not against alcohol completely, but I just don't think that heavier rates of drinking have a positive impact on family relationships. Alcohol consumption did increase in the 60s and 70s, as well as rates of cirrhosis and alcoholism-related deaths. And I can draw some light conclusions on how that may have impacted family dynamics. But to keep it brief, probably not in a good way. Domestic abuse and violence is in a similar predicament to looking at divorce rates. There's a huge taboo, embarrassment, and families were, and still are today, ashamed to admit when these were going on in their home. So it's hard to look at these underreported and underprosecuted crimes. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence didn't exist until 1978, and the Family Violence Prevention and Response Act only passed in 1985. I did find some data going back to the 90s showing that domestic abuse rates and child neglect has been dropping over the past few decades, and I can extrapolate what I think the numbers might have been in the post-war era, especially given the state of women's rights and the general view of the husband head of the household at the time. But given the lack of attention to this problem in the past, I'll admit I don't have a ton of data to back it up. There is one thing that really contributed to feeling fulfilled for traditional families that was at its peak in the 50s and 60s, and that was time spent together as a family. In the late 60s, 43% of mothers were married women staying at home while their spouse worked, compared to 20% in 2012. 3/4 of baby boomers report that eating dinner together as a family regularly was a part of their childhood, compared to 38% of Gen Z today. And to the surprise of, I'm sure, no one, people without siblings report having lonelier childhoods. Overall, I think these traditional nuclear families of the past definitely had their own problems. Pressure to keep family problems hidden without general public support or attention. Worse access to family planning methods to actually be able to have the family that you wanted. The threat of the Cold War was looming. But they also had strong social ties, a support network both in their community and at the government level, and a thriving economy, so at least you could sleep at night knowing your family had what they needed. So what happened? Based on everything I've looked at so far, these nuclear families of the past actually were pretty good in a lot of ways. Having a committed, stable relationship and a partner to share your life with, and having children provides a lot of joy and fulfillment for a lot of people in the past and still today. Why is this no longer the dream for the current and next generations of Americans when we're thinking about what we want our lives and futures to look like? And just as a reminder, a majority of Americans do still like the idea of being married and having kids someday. Although that kids one is in danger, I would say it's hovering right around the 50% mark of US adults who say they are unlikely to ever have kids. Even if someone wants to be married and have kids, or if someone wants to be or be married to a stay-at-home mom, which, by the way, even in the mid-2010s, a majority of Americans agreed that that was the better option compared to having both parents working, this may feel more like a pipe dream now than an actual goal. There's a lot of reasons why I think this is the case, but I'm just going to talk about two for now. The first being the general cultural sentiment of young people of defeat and exhaustion when it comes to working towards achievements. And the second being the casualization of society and how that goes against the formality of having a traditional family. So the first part about pessimistic attitudes, I actually feel like I am a great example of this. Even when I was a kid, I never really felt like I wanted big dreams. I wanted realistic dreams, things that I actually thought were achievable. And I know that might sound kind of sad for a kid, but that's honestly how I've been as long as I can remember. And I'm sure that has something to do with fear of failure. But I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. Over 60% of Americans feel less confident that they will own a home in their lifetime compared to 5 years ago. And this poll showed 80% of Gen Z believe they are priced out of home ownership. If you truly think, and maybe you're right to think so, that you'll never own a house, then the dream of having kids almost feels ridiculous. The financing of children costs way more than a house does. So it's like, why even bother trying when it's that far out of reach? With individualism being more pervasive than ever, this pressure to create a great life for yourself before you're good enough to involve a spouse or kids, we feel like we'll never get there. It's such an impossible task. Why try and push this giant boulder up a mountain? And going back to my previous point about casualization, I don't even know if that's the right word, but I feel like society has become less formal and polite in a million ways over time. I can make a whole video about that, but clothing, workplaces, communication, romantic relationships, the stigma and hush-hush pointing and judgment of non-traditional families like gay couples or unmarried parents or single parents is not gone in society today, but it's much more casual and treated with a lot more acceptance today than in the past. I think at least some of the people having traditional families in the post-war era were doing so with at least part of the motivation being fear, to fit in with the crowd. So if people today are feeling more comfortable to build different types of families, or not build a family at all, to not feel like they have to fit into any particular mold. As long as they're happy and fulfilled, then more power to you. Like I said at the beginning of this video, there is no wrong type of family, except for the ones where the members are hurting each other or they're just not happy. The traditional structure of families of the past can be great. They can still be great today. They can also be not so great. It depends on a lot of other factors, like your community and your economic status, and just the fact that people are different. Some women are amazing mothers. Some aren't. Same goes for fathers. I think that we're in a better position today when it comes to sex education and birth control, so that people can choose to not have kids if they want to. There's still a ways to go in that process. I have some suggestions of how we can improve, but it's been a long road, and we're better now than we used to be in the post-war era. I'm glad that less young people today say that they feel tons of pressure to get married if they don't want to. However, I also really want the next generations in this country to be able to get married and have kids if they do want to. Even though I don't ever plan on having children myself, it still makes me sad to hear people say, like, oh, I would love to have kids someday, but I just can't afford it, or I'm too afraid to bring a life into this world because I don't want to feel responsible for my kid having to grow up with all this shit. That is depressing, especially when I feel like these concerns should be fixable. Having a thriving and financially stable majority of the population with communities that support each other and their families is very possible. We've had it before. We still have it today in certain areas. It just needs to be on a greater scale. So I hope you found this topic interesting. I definitely enjoyed digging into the traditional American family. I also have some older videos where I talk about why young people today don't want to get married, don't want to have kids, and parental estrangement, if any of those interest you. If you liked this video, please consider giving it a like or subscribing, and thanks for watching.